letter to Philemon is one of the most fascinating letters in the New Testament. One of the most fascinating books of the New Testament. It's also the shortest book in the New Testament. If you think about it, there's only 335 words in Greek. 335 words in Greek, or 25 verses. It's a very short letter, and it was written by Paul in Paul's own hand. Usually he used a scribe. He would dictate his letters, and the scribe would write down what he wrote, and then he would take them and he would read them, and then he would make some adjustments, and he'd add a little PS, a postscript, and he'd sign his name, and that's how you knew that the letter came from him. But for the most part, he would dictate his letters. But this one he wrote with his own hand from prison in Rome to Philemon, the head of a house church in Colossae. Colossae is a town in the mountains of what is now central Turkey. And he founded the churches in Colossae. He was the apostle who took the gospel of Jesus Christ the very first time to these Christians, to these pagans who then became Christians. And he converted them. He converted Philemon and his whole household. So he knew these people. He knew Philemon. He knew the family there. He knew these Christians in Colossae. And he probably also knew Onesimus, who there's much debate about who Onesimus was. Some scholars think he may have actually been Philemon's son. But there is no question that he was Philemon's servant. He was Philemon's slave, his bond servant. And he was a runaway slave. A runaway slave who had traveled a great distance, halfway across the ancient Roman Empire, to Rome, to where Paul was imprisoned. And there Paul met him and converted him, and then sent him back home. So today we're going to look at the letter of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Aphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace, unmerited, unearned favor, to you in peace, the end of againstness, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the from and the to segment of your email, and the subject line as well. And that's what we have here. We have a letter from Paul to Philemon. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. He's buttering him up. This is Paul to you, Philemon. Grace to you in peace. You have refreshed me in your love. He's buttering him up. He's getting ready to make a demand of him. And he's doing that slathering on to get him in good stead to begin with. He wants to make sure he's going to get listened to here. Now, if you have your King James, you'll know it says a slightly different line here. Because the bowels of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. No, the heart is the concept here. I'm not talking about some kind of a spiritual colonic. It's the Holy Spirit has moved through your spiritual heart. What he's saying. You have blessed me, Philemon. You have blessed me, and I am encouraged by your love. I'm encouraged by your grace and the grace of God that functions in your life, in your home church. I've heard good things about you, and I'm very, very pleased. For this reason, Though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Boo, boo, boo. Now he's trying to make him feel sorry for him. I could command you to do what I'm getting ready to tell you to do, but I'm just going to implore you on behalf of love. Because I'm an old man, you're really going to listen to me. You're going to accept what I'm telling you to do. I'm a prisoner of Christ. How can you deny what I'm getting ready to ask? I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm appealing to you on behalf of my son, Onesimus. Huh? Is this Paul's son? No, not, did he give birth to him in prison? No. I am appealing to you on behalf of my son, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. I'm appealing to you on behalf of Onesimus, whom I have converted, who I have made into a Christian during my imprisonment here. Formerly, he was useless to you. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my heart, back to you. He was worthless to you before. Before he ran away, he was worthless to you, and then he is gone and he's really worthless to you. But now he's even more gratefully, wonderfully useful to you as me. In fact, I'm going to send him back to you. And you might as well consider him my heart, because that's what he is. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful, both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me, so that he might be of service to me in your place, during my imprisonment for the gospel. While he's here, he's been like you were here. It's been as if he were your representative here taking care of me. I need some water. I need some food. I need someone to go get me some parchment. I need somebody to rub my poor head. And he's here to do that for me. And it's just as if you were here doing that for me. I wanted to keep him here, but I can't do that. I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. I wanted to keep him with me to help me here in prison, but he's a runaway slave, and I don't want to presume anything on you. I want to make sure that this is a voluntary gift, a voluntary service that I am receiving from you through him. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially so to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He ran away from you, Philemon. Maybe he ran away so that God could convert him into a Christian, and then we could have him no longer as a servant, but as a brother. So, if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. He's a runaway slave, runaway property, runaway bondservant. Comes home, what happens? Gets beaten, gets punished. That's what's supposed to happen, right? Paul says, no, he's a brother in Christ. He was sent away by God so that he could be converted, so that he could then do service for me in your name, and I'm sending him back to you now, and you should treat him as you would treat me. No beatings. Treat him as you would treat me. If he has wronged you in any way, he's run away from home, yeah. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, he's run away from home, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about me, about your owing me even your own self. I'm not going to remind you that you owe me your eternal life. You just did, Paul. That's right. Philemon, if he owes you anything, if Onesimus owes you for having run away, if he took anything when he ran away, if he owes you anything at all, charge it to my credit account that I have with you. You owe me your eternal soul, Philemon. Surely I have enough credit with you that I can repay with that credit anything he may have taken from you, including himself.
Amen.
Uh-huh. And I'm not going to remind you that you owe me everything, Philemon. I just love Paul. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Don't just welcome him as if he were me. Don't just accept on my credit against your salvation that anything that he owes you is paid off. Do even more. Free him. He is your brother in Christ. We are fellow servants of God. What business do you have owning anyone? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And I am confident that you're going to obey and do even more. But one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Just in case it's crossed your mind that there's just no way that Paul's going to find out that I just beat the way out of Onesimus here, I'm going to come visit. And when I do, I'm going to look and see and find out how you've treated my heart, my son, Onesimus. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you. And so do Mark and Aristarchus and Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And that's it. Paul, writing to Philemon, has some specific expectations. He's expecting Philemon to remember how much he owes Paul for his salvation. And he's expecting Philemon to behave as a Christian, to realize that this converted person, Onesimus, used to be his slave, used to be his servant. Yes, he ran away. Yes, he owes him quite a bit for that. But Paul has converted him and made him into a Christian. He's now a brother in Christ. And as Paul said to the church in Galatia, in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female. And he's expecting Philemon to remember that he owes Paul his eternal soul, his salvation. Hence he's expecting Philemon to do the right thing, to forgive any debt that Onesimus may have, and that includes freeing him. Now, what happened to Onesimus? The Bible is silent. It doesn't tell us what happened. However, there are church fathers who tell us that in the early second century, around 100 to 110, there was a bishop in Ephesus named Onesimus. And Onesimus had been a slave whom Paul the Apostle converted, taught, freed, and laid hands on to ordain. And this Onesimus, theory has it, the New Testament scholars in the 20th century studying Onesimus and Onesimus's role in the church in Ephesus, and Onesimus's role in the process of the development of the New Testament itself, have postulated a very reasonable argument. Onesimus is one of the few people who would have known that Paul was not just a letter writer, but that he had written a bunch of letters. One to Colossae, the Colossian letter. One to Ephesus, the Ephesian letter. One concerning himself to Philemon in Colossae. And as a bishop in Ephesus, may very well have known the bishop in Philippi and the bishop in Thessalonica and the bishop in Corinth. And therefore known that they had letters from Paul too. And so he would have been well positioned toward the end of the first century, well positioned to execute a collection of Paul's letters. And we know by the 90s AD that letters of Paul had been collected and were in circulation as a body of literature, a body of faith literature for the New Testament church, long before the Gospels were collected. Long before the rest of it came together as a single canon of Scripture, Paul's letters were circulating. So here we have this freed slave, Onesimus, who becomes critically important for the formation of the New Testament in the collection of Paul's letters. What do we learn from this? We learn that God can move into anything, including a runaway servant, a runaway slave, to work wonders. And that God's grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ can cause even an oppressor, a slave owner like Philemon, to recognize his debt to Christ, his debt to Paul, his debt to the gospel, and free that slave. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we too have been freed by the gospel. We too have been freed by the grace of God. We too have been freed by the message of Paul, the message of Peter, the message of Mary Magdalene, the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed in the gospels themselves. We too have been freed from the chains of sin and death. We too have been freed from slavery to the powers and forces of darkness that chain us and hold us down. We have been freed from slavery to sin and death. Amen indeed. We have been freed by Christ Jesus our Lord. We have been freed by the debt of grace for the proclamation of the gospel. We have been freed just as much as Onesimus has been freed. We have been freed to proclaim the good news, to be representatives of Jesus Christ in this world. It doesn't matter where we're from. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter what our ethnicity, what our gender, what our orientation, what our understanding, what our language, what our nationality, what our political affiliation. It doesn't matter how much money we make, where we live, who we are. Jesus Christ, in the grace that comes from the cross, has freed us. Amen. We are called to turn to the means of grace, to the Holy Word, the Scriptures, to the hymns of the church, to the prayer time together, voicing our needs, hearing the needs of others, lifting them to God. We're called to turn to the means of grace in service and in witness. We're called to turn to the means of grace in the Holy Eucharist at the table of the Lord. We're called to turn to the means of grace and depend upon them, connecting us by faith to Jesus Christ, which breaks the chains of sin, death, and frees us to everlasting life today. Come to the table of the Lord today. Come to the Holy Eucharist today. Come to Jesus' body and blood today and be freed for life and ministry and service. Be freed to live as a child of God. Be freed, no longer a slave to man, no longer a slave to sin, no longer a slave to anyone, but freed as a sister and brother of the King, Jesus Christ our Lord. Come to the table of the Lord and have the chain shattered anew in your life. Come to the table of the Lord and be freed for life and ministry with Jesus. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and let the free people of God say, Amen.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2012 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.